Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm still here. There's no baby yet.
No baby. Baby is continuing to delay.
Yes, the baby is in the womb. It must be comfy. The baby is in an environment where life is good and the Phoenix Coyotes aren't winning a series 2-0. What the hell's going on, dude? If I were this baby, I would stay in the womb too, because the world must be ending.
The world is crazy. Topsy-turvy world. Phoenix is winning.
Oh my gosh. So yes, we are one day late in terms of baby time, but that's no big deal in terms of your first kid.
So you have your phone next to your pager.
Yeah, my phone is sitting right next to me right now, and I'm able to sprint out of here at one, you know, slight twinge.
Right.
You know, I think I felt something. I'm out of here. Yeah. Get me out of here.
Oh, wait, I had burritos for lunch.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, dude, that's the latest with me. Last time we recorded, we were very emotional, dude. We recorded right on the heels of the Sharks being eliminated in their quickest playoff ouster in 5 games. Now that we're into the second round of the playoffs, dude, we each have 4 teams remaining in the playoff pool.
And the cool thing is we're head-to-head in all 4 series.
All 4 series. So it's possible that someone will have a Vegas trip sewn up by the end of the next 2 weeks. So I say pretty unlikely. I think we're both going to have 2 teams left at the end. It looks like you're going to have Phoenix. I might have LA.
You might have LA.
LA and then Philly and the Rangers is my guess.
Right.
The Devils put up way more of a fight last night than I thought they were going to, but Kovalchuk's injury seems to kind of doom their chances. And if Petrangelo is, I don't even know if he's playing tonight or not, but
they say game time decision.
If he's out for an extended period of time, that's not good news for St. Louis, the way the Kings are playing. But we'll just kind of keep one eye on the Vegas bet, dude. But how you feeling? Has your opinion changed? We got a lot of comments on the blog.
Yeah, a lot of people are venting, which is good. I want to go to the blog and
some great comments. Actually.
Great comments. Honest differences of opinion, which of course you would expect, and people weighing in. We're going to talk about a Mark Purdy article that he wrote shortly after the end of the series. And, you know, I know that, one thing that we were both pretty sure about or felt sure about at the time was that Tom McClellan would not be retained. And now after reading a Mark Purdy article and some other things, it appears like that actually Tom McClellan being back next year seems more and more likely all the time. And at least some of the stuff that I've read seems to indicate that those two guys might be sort of a package deal.
Yeah, I mean, the way Purdy writes it, I mean, here's the direct quote. There is no way Wilson would fire McClellan. The two are joined philosophically at the hip. They may not agree on every personnel move, but they agree on how the game should be played. If Wilson was ordered by ownership to fire McClellan, Wilson might quit himself. I mean, those are some pretty strong words that I don't think Mark Purdy would just pull out of thin air.
I don't know. I mean, I like Mark Purdy, but I think he might be a little hyperbolic here. I don't think that that Doug Wilson would fall on the sword in order to save a coach. And I'm certainly not as, Doug Wilson doesn't appear to be really super emotional, really about anyone. And, you know,
maybe that's why he loves Patrick Marleau. Hey-o! Thank you.
I don't know. I don't. They may very well be, philosophical, simpatico. But if Doug Wilson thinks that it's not working and they're not responding to the coach, I still think he would make a change just because they happen to agree on something. I'm sure Doug Wilson, in the vast wide world of the hockey community, he could find another coach that wants to play a puck possession game. I don't think that would be that hard.
Right.
You know, maybe there isn't the normal retreads like, you know, like the Quenvilles and the Hitchcocks that just seem to find a job as soon as they're jettisoned from the previous one. But I'm sure Doug Wilson could find somebody that agrees with his general philosophy of running a team. So, yeah, I'm not sure I buy into that completely. The one thing I definitely do buy into when it comes to that Purdy article is that the ownership group doesn't seem to have a real strong leader right now. And if they were to fire Wilson, who would hire the next GM?
Right.
And so I definitely agree with that part. It seems like the ownership group, as nebulous as it may seem, is pretty aligned with Wilson still. And it's very unlikely that he would lose his job. But I don't think that T-Mac is completely in the clear here. Or are you buying what Purdy's selling here?
I'm buying it in terms of that I think it might be fact, you know, but mm-hmm. I'm not buying that I think it's the right decision.
Right.
Now, the Hockey News has an article in, you know, its second most recent issue. Issue. Thank you. Gosh.
Dude. Jeez. Baby's not here yet.
Oh, my Lord. I'm going crazy. Dude, and the names that they're kind of throwing out as, you know, they have an article, Fresh Blood Behind Bench. It's hard to get too super stoked about some of the names. A lot of junior coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the hot, fresh coaches. I feel like I'm describing, some sort of hot, fresh. Yeah. Come in to Quiznos for our hot, fresh coaches.
Open-faced turkey sandwich. So,
Paul McClain, obviously nominated for Jack Adams. I mean, that ended up being an amazing hire. Not that it won't end up exactly like San Jose in 4 years where that style just doesn't work with that team.
Right.
Hitchcock, a new coach, mm-hmm. also up for the Jack Adams.
Sure.
You know, and Kevin Dineen worked out pretty damn well in mm-hmm. Florida. Mm-hmm. So you look at the new coaches on those teams, it seemed like that worked out pretty well. I don't see, you know, a name like that that's jumping out to me as going, gosh, you know, there's this coach out there that would just be perfect. Mm-hmm. For the Sharks. So it's the same thing with looking at Doug Wilson. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think Doug Wilson should be held ultimately responsible if you're holding the review of the Sharks and you are Kevin Compton or one of these lead owners making this decision? Are you going to cut ties with him, or are you just too in too deep with him? And maybe he doesn't even deserve to be fired.
Doug Wilson?
Yeah.
I don't think he deserves to be fired.
I don't either.
Of course, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and you read comments, especially on the Purdy article, you know, the Facebook people, you know, respond and they say, oh, Doug Wilson should be out and all these kinds of things. And it's, yeah, I mean, you could certainly make a case for Doug Wilson being fired, but then again, you could probably make that case for almost every GM in the league. Almost every GM in the league has made some terrible decisions, made some bad contract signings, bad draft picks, what have you. It's, if it was an easy thing to do, then you'd see everybody doing it. And it's just not that easy to evaluate talent and make the right trades and do all those things. I think Doug Wilson has generally kept the Sharks out of trouble and generally been successful in making trades, especially the big ones. And for that, I put him in the top, at least the top half of GMs in the league. Seem to be a lot of GMs who can't seem to get out of the morass of signing a guy for 15 years, like Roberto Luongo, or making a terrible trade, or whatever it is. And it seems like Doug Wilson has mostly avoided those landmines. So for that reason, yeah, you stick with him.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. And the Sharks have been so successful for so long, and with this maybe being their most disappointing year, it certainly wasn't from lack of effort on Doug Wilson's part. I mean, mm-hmm. he certainly tried to push the right buttons. Now, we can look, you know, at his moves during the season and go, okay, well, I mean, if we want to kind of break down the trades that happened, the Brent Burns deal, I still like it based on...
I still like it too.
You know, Setoguchi didn't do anything.
Right.
I mean, he's exactly who we feared he was going to turn into, which is a guy who's playing top 6 minutes who can barely score 20 goals, you know,
right,
if even, and not stay healthy. So Seto is that type of player. You know, Charlie Coyle, we don't know who he is for a team that's going to be trying to win now. And the draft pick, you know, mm-hmm. unknowns. So you're looking at it, you know, Burns had a good year. You know, maybe he wasn't as electric offensively as some people expected, including us, I think, mm-hmm. when we saw him added to this team. I still don't understand totally why they didn't go Burns, Boyle on the top power play unit like they did with Boyle and Blake. I think that maybe was a strategic mistake,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, but he had a great plus minus. He's not an awesome Norris Trophy style defenseman, but he's a good player, dude.
Right. And the Norris is a little hard to come by. You know what I'm saying? Right. When you got Webbers and the Charas and the Doughtys and the Keiths and the Lidstroms still around.
Do you like the Heatley-Havlat trade still?
Yeah, I still like it. I mean, like I said, like I tweeted early on, Havlat scored 2 goals in the first game and Heatley scored 2 goals in the entire last year's postseason. So, yeah, I mean, the thing about Havlat, which is going to be the question from now until the end of time, is can he stay healthy? And Healy led the Wild with, what, 20-something goals. I don't even think he broke 30. So
and he was under 60 points again.
And you're talking about a guy with a $7.5 million cap hit. Now, I mean, it's getting harder and harder to move those contracts. I think Doug Wilson made the right call of making that move now. You know, Martin Havlat does not have that cap hit. He's going to be easier to move should that situation arise. And I think he's probably the better player right now when he's healthy. So I'm not that upset about that trade either. So, yeah, in terms of the last, you know, the last big rash of trades, obviously the McGinn trade is the one that you would want to double back on, right? That's the one that you want to backseat drive and say, trading McGinn for Winnick and Gagliardi didn't work out.
Yeah, McGinn plus 2 prospects for,
right.
for Winnick and Gagliardi did not work out. Now, we both agree that Daniel Winnick should be retained, and I think TJ Gagliardi is going to be retained too. I mean, you didn't go to all that to let Gagliardi go as a restricted free agent. And, you know, Doug Wilson, when he trades for an unrestricted guy, usually has the intention of keeping him. And don't you think that Winnick is going to be back, dude, or at least they're going to make every effort?
Yeah, I think Winnick is the closest thing we've had to Manny Malhotra since Manny Malhotra left. So, yeah, I want to keep him. I definitely want to keep Daniel Winnick. Great in the faceoff circle, good on the penalty kill, responsible at both ends of the ice. There's no problem. I don't have a problem with Daniel Winnick in any way.
So, but if you're Daniel Winnick and you're going, I'm a defensive player and I'm going to be asked to play this bullshit penalty kill style, dude. Like, he even kind of criticized it during really? The first round of the playoffs where they asked him about it. He goes, well, maybe we need to be more aggressive.
Yeah.
Oh, you think maybe?
Yeah, you I mean, think?
Absolutely. You know, this guy was brought here to shore up the PK, and they're basically not allowed to do anything. David Perron came out today and said, yeah, basically said the Sharks PK sucks. Like, they asked
well, that's
him
not
about
exactly
the difference.
News.
But they asked him about the difference between the Kings and the Sharks PK, and he was like, well, the Kings are a lot more aggressive, and the Sharks just basically
let us do whatever we want.
Dare you to, like, they stand in, they stand in the clean parts of the ice and try and prevent you from passing across the box, which is exactly how you've described it.
And yet, that doesn't
And it doesn't work. Yeah. So, they basically just stood still and did
right.
nothing.
Right.
And so, the Winnick-Gagliardi trade does not look good. And probably the one that looks the worst is the Dominic Moore trade for mm-hmm. a second rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Dominic Moore had an outstanding impact in his first game in Teal, and then after that, really did nothing.
Right.
You know, and that ended up being a huge bust. But does a guy end up losing his job over something like that?
I don't know. The one thing that Doug Wilson seems to certainly recognize is that the PK was terrible. He certainly said there's going to be changes. I think that it's possible if T-Mac doesn't face the wrath of that, it might be the assistants. It might be our buddy Jay Woodcroft, who I don't know if he's exactly in charge of the PK, but whoever that is, I could see some of them being sacrificed.
I cannot
this.
See any situation where Jay Woodcroft is still an assistant coach behind the bench. I can't imagine a scenario where he's still there. Because, and no, doesn't mean he's going to get canned. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was the video coach.
You think he'll get demoted?
He could. Maybe he's not ready, dude. I mean, I don't know. Well, okay, if he's in charge of the PK, like they say he is,
right.
he's not ready, dude.
Yeah.
Like
it's true.
Like it was terrible. It was so embarrassing. But this is where we double back to talking about Todd McClellan. I'm sorry. You're the boss. Like, right. You're in charge of that steaming pile.
Right.
You need to do something about it.
Yes, yes.
And obviously, he didn't think it was broken enough to change anything, dude. And that's where I still have an issue with retaining McClellan. I think Purdy is right that it might... He's probably still going to be here. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel great about it.
No, I don't either. I don't think he should be retained. I think you get somebody else in there. I don't think there's any indication that there's going to be a significant improvement next year. What exactly is going to be different 6 months from now with the same personnel and the same coaching staff that we saw 3 weeks ago? What exactly is going to be different here?
Well, that's where you're looking at there'll probably be more drastic changes on the personnel side if they end up keeping the head coach. They have to do something, and they will do something. There's just no way that they're going to roll out the exact same product with the same coaches, same team, and go, it was just, you know, it was a hard knock life out there, kids. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, this isn't going to happen again. A
couple bounces, we would have gone our way, we would have been in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Because right now, as they are constructed, it wouldn't be unfair to say that it's possible the Sharks could finish anywhere as low as fourth in the Pacific next year.
Hell, they might miss the playoffs next year.
It's possible because Dallas is always on the verge, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're very close. And the Ducks got way better at the end of the year last year. Mm-hmm. And the Sharks got worse. So if they don't do anything, Doug Wilson's not a moron.
Yeah.
You know, he knows that they're in a little bit, you know, you're sitting here watching Phoenix do a Houdini,
right,
whatever. You know, they're marching their way to the conference finals to possibly meet LA.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's going on, dude?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
It's pretty topsy-turvy here.
So we, in right now, we both agree that once they do their evaluations, Doug Wilson should cut ties with Tom McClellan.
Yeah. So I think my initial reaction, I really wouldn't change it. I still feel the same way. You know, the personnel stuff obviously gets tougher to call. The Vancouver Sun had an article today about how the Sharks, you know, shouldn't retain Patrick Marleau. The inevitable articles that come out after every, you know, conclusion to the season about how Patrick Marleau, you know, and one thing that was interesting that was maybe emphasized a little bit more in this particular article, and I thought it was a pretty even-handed article by the Vancouver Sun. They say he's probably just, you know, one thing that's kind of interesting is, you know, he's been there his entire career. He's probably just nice and comfortable, you know, and that, how could you describe it? I think that's a pretty fair assessment. He's got a pretty comfortable gig in San Jose, you know, and maybe being comfortable and knowing that the fans love you and they're going to vote you fan favorite every year and you have, you know, a good relationship with your GM and you have pretty consistent top penalty power play minutes and all this kind of thing. You know, maybe that kind of, you know, ease of existing on the team, maybe that doesn't exactly help you to strive for excellence. And, I mean, Marlowe's a good player, and they say he is, but maybe he needs something where it pushes him a little bit, because I don't know if the situation and the atmosphere in San Jose is really pushing him to be a better player.
No, I think that that's pretty accurate. Would he... the guy is so even keeled, you right. know, that if you send him somewhere else, is that really going to change his outlook on how to play the game? You know, I mean, the guy's a good player. We're not saying Patrick Marleau's not a good hockey player, but if you're looking at the graph of his career, it's mm-hmm. starting to go down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to make him extremely difficult to trade. You know, you're trading a guy who's got a $7 million cap hit.
Right.
He's got 2 years left on a deal. He can basically name where he wants to go. If you're going to try and move him, he can reject a deal.
Right.
And the team that's getting him is acknowledging that they're getting a guy who scores 30 goals, but, you know, they're watching. I mean, they see what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the article says maybe they want to go to a team that needs to hit the cap floor, but I can't imagine Marleau would okay a trade to a team like that. Although he did sort of say when asked about it that, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I mean, you know, my sort of working theory about no trade clauses is it's all on the team's court. It sounds like the player has power here, but you put it out in the media that the player has refused to trade and the team needs to get better, but this player wants to hold the team back, then all of a sudden the player finds himself staring down the barrel of a adversarial media and a bunch of angry blog posts from dudes in their underwear saying that Patrick Marleau is not a team guy, and then he might as well just go to, you know, Florida, earn the $7 million, be in the sun, and be in a place where everybody's happy that he's there.
First of all, I'm upset that you gave away our secret about writing blog posts in our underwear. I don't think
I know, it is a trade secret.
I don't think that you should be telling.
I tried to patent that, but apparently it's already taken.
Dude, I don't think this is going to change in terms of how I feel. Patrick Marleau, if he's back next year, I'm going to be disappointed. I think more disappointed about that than Todd McLellan being back. I think that is the number one priority right now in my mind.
Wow.
Is he has to be gone. Like, there's just this overall kind of lackadaisical, you know,
attitude
that kind of goes with the Sharks, and the we've mentioned this last week and before, the poster child is look at the Flyers when they made this dramatic change, and it might involve dealing Jumbo too.
Yeah,
you get Jumbo has now a more complete player than ever, but he still also is just not super fiery, not just kind of laid back doing the interviews with his shirt off. Something's got to change. And I think Marleau is number one, but maybe Joe's got to go too, dude. Maybe they both have to go to change the atmosphere on this team. And you need a little bit more fire on this team, because there just doesn't seem to be that emotional response that I'm looking for.
Right. Right. They don't have a Scott Hartnell, you know?
No, they don't.
They don't have a Scott Hartnell who's going to throw his glove at somebody or whatever, or just, you know, do the...
Well, they do have Ryan Kloh will play the play the puck from the bench, but you know, there's a lot of question marks. We're not going to go down every player right now. We'll save that for later in the year, but I mean, there's two players that I think need to not be here anymore, and Marleau is number one, you know?
I could handle Jumbo, and I certainly think that a coaching change is a higher priority than changing Marleau. I mean, if you brought in a guy that's ready to, you know, kick butt and take names, you brought in a Ken Hitchcock, you brought in, you know, a guy, you know, Mike Keenan, God forbid, no, I hope not. But, you know, you bring in a guy that is basically his whole job description is to go and just try and beat everybody into submission of his system. That might help guys like that. It might completely turn him off and just tank the whole team, but I think you need a change of voice at the top, because right now it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of urgency going on here. It seems like, oh, we're cool with what we got. You know, sort of the thing that we've got from McLellan all year is we're cool with our system, and our system's just going to work if we implement it. Well, how's that working for you? It's not, you know, it's not. And the Blues obviously figured it out. Now we have the Blues out and out saying so in the media that they figured it out, and they're happy to go against that system. You know, that's not what you want to hear from the opposition. Yeah, we like the way the Sharks play their penalty kill, because that's good for us.
Right. And obviously, Nashville's figured out Detroit, too.
Is there a bigger indictment than that? I don't know if there is.
No.
You literally have the other team saying they're happy to play against your system.
Sure. Because it's predictable.
Right.
And you know exactly what's going to happen. That's why McLellan needs to not be here next year.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that he's a bad coach and that we're not grateful for the 4 years of playoff hockey and two Western Conference, you know, final appearances. It's just, and he even said so himself at some point in a closing interview, that yes, we acknowledge that the four teams that are still here are playing a different style of hockey, but, you know, and we may need to adapt and change a little bit. Come on, you're not going to.
Yeah.
Then why didn't you do it?
Right.
Like, you, when you were losing the series 3-1, you should have done it then.
Right.
Not talk about it now. Do it then. Change.
Right.
Forecheck aggressively. When we saw him do it in the last 5 minutes of games, they seemed to score.
Mm-hmm.
Shut down St. Louis.
They did a lot better.
I won't back down against saying that the Sharks their roster is better. If you put them with Ken Hitchcock, they're better team.
Yeah.
You know, they're better team. But maybe the way the roster's constructed, and going back to your, you know, talking about bringing in a different coach and keeping Patrick Marleau, you bring in Ken Hitchcock and Marleau can't play that way. I don't know if he can or he can't. But what if he can't?
Well, then you sit him. you marginalize him the way Alex Ovechkin's been marginalized.
Yeah.
It's working for the Capitals.
Right.
He's playing fewer minutes than Brooks Like, for God's sake.
Right.
So you do what you got to do. You send the message. That the message has been sent loud and clear. Dale Hunter says, great, you may make $1 billion a year, $13 million a year, and be the face of the entire league. Who cares? I'm going to play on the power play, and then you're going to be sitting. You know, you're not playing any PK time. You're not playing crucial 5-on-5 situations. You want to get into the lineup. You want to play more. Guess what? You got to do all those things that we expect everybody to do. And if you send that message to Alex Ovechkin, he's going to get it. You send it to Patrick Marleau, he's going to get it. These guys understand. They've played for coaches. I'm sure they played for a hard-ass coach in their life before.
Well, he's played for Daryl Sutter. He's played for Ron Wilson.
Right.
Look how that worked out. When he played for Ron Wilson,
yeah,
they hated each other.
Yeah, exactly. So,
allegedly.
Right.
You look at Marleau's stats last year, it's his worst season in the last 7 years, except for the year that he had, you know, 48 points. It was just, you know, a total disgrace. But, you know.
Dude, I want to talk about the one thing that's scary that I think is actually possible.
Okay.
That makes me very frightened. And, you know, it did come out that Boyle's no trade clause.
I don't want to talk about this, dude.
It is limited in that he can name teams that he won't go to.
I don't want to talk about this, dude.
Dude, it's hard truth time. And, you know, I can't help noticing that when Doug Wilson talks about players that try to do too much, his exhibit A is always Dan Boyle, like trying to go around everybody in the neutral zone. I put two and two together, and I'm scared that Dan Boyle could be a casualty of this, you know, major, or of this overhaul, however big or small it is. I hope it's not the case. I don't necessarily think it's going to be the case, but clearly the opportunity is there, and Boyle is not getting any younger. You know, he's 30. He's gonna be 36.
Well, as a fan, I'll be devastated if they do that.
Yeah.
And I know you will be too. And I think everybody should be, because I mean, he's clearly not the problem of what's going on this team. And if they trade Dan Boyle, it's purely a money saving move. And then he's, you know, going against everything that he says, you know, they're going to do. You're not going to become more competitive now by trading Dan Boyle. How's that going to help?
Yeah.
You fought so hard to get this elite puck moving defenseman. You had Brian Campbell, he walked away, you make the trade for Dan Boyle, and then you lose him, and where are you then?
Right. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't think it's gonna happen, but I'm a little scared. I put those two pieces of information together and I'm freaked out a little
bit. I just can't imagine that Doug Wilson, being a defenseman himself, even though he's critical of Boyle, I think he knows how important he is to this team.
I hope so.
He's exactly the guy you should keep and build and get more boys on the team like that.
Right.
Who are, you know, how many times after the game did Dan Boyle say, I'm pissed, I can't believe it. Like, yeah. I want to keep playing. I hate this. Like, this sucks.
Right.
I'm so mad. Like, this is awful. You know, I want to punch some puppies, you know?
Right, yeah.
He didn't say that.
He did want to club a baby seal, though.
Dude. But everybody, and then you get the Marleau interview. Yeah, well, you know, maybe next year.
Right.
And you're just like, he's the only one who's just like devastated.
Yeah.
And everybody else is kind of like, eh. And that's where.
Well, Jumbo wasn't happy.
No, he's not happy, but. But he also was saying things like, hats off to the Blues.
Right.
Screw the Blues, yeah. Dude. Hats off to the Blues.
Yeah.
Screw those guys. You know, I didn't like that. Like, hats off to the Blues. Who gives it? I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say that. You know, dude, if I'm auditioning for a part and then someone comes in and beats me for the part, I'm not waiting for him outside the room going, hey, hats off to you, buddy.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go home. I'm going to say terrible things about them.
Right.
I'm going to be so pissed. You know, I'll probably, you know, start some sort of malicious rumor about them, dude.
Facebook campaign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do terrible stuff. I call 1-800-DENTIST and leave their phone number and have them get phone calls from the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines. I do terrible things to them. I would never do that, dude. Dude, the other player that I believe needs to go, and Kevin Kurz wrote about it today, is I don't see a successful situation moving forward with Antti Niemi in net. I just don't. I don't think he's the right guy, dude. I think they tried it. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work. And he's, you know, exhibit A, B, C, D, E, F is that goal in game five when the Sharks are winning and he lets in that goal.
Right.
And it all falls apart. That soft, soft goal. His save percentage is junk, dude.
Well, if the Flyers win the cup, dude, that may prove that whole line of reasoning wrong. Because the Flyers haven't had squat in terms of goaltending this entire postseason.
Yeah, I guess so. I just look at the other teams and, you know, you look at how well Lundqvist and Smith and Elliott and... Yeah,
it's basically the elite goaltenders are all left.
The elite goalies and Braden Holtby, who's proving to be a young elite goalie, and then Brizgalov, whose save percentage is like... You know,
single digits,
40%, something awful.
Right.
But when you're scoring 8 goals a game, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So, Kevin Kurz wrote about Antti Niemi, dude, maybe possibly being part of a deal to Columbus.
I could see that happening. I mean, Columbus essentially said today that Steve Mason is history, which, you know, is probably, you know, obviously going to happen anyway. But he said, we need to make a major change in the goaltending department and something about Mason. But he didn't even really say, like, we're going to give him a chance to, you know, go out for, you know, try to gain the job. Basically,
he's had his chance.
Yeah, he's had plenty of chances. Yeah, it's trying to get somebody else. Like, they might be interested in getting Antti Niemi.
If you're them, though, why would you want Antti Niemi? Like, why wouldn't you want to get a player like Jonathan Bernier? Or like Lindback from Nashville. Like, wouldn't you want a young goalie to build around instead of bringing in Antti Niemi and his 9-10 save percentage? And is it an upgrade over Steve Mason? Yeah.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
You know, and Niemi's not old.
Right.
But I don't know, dude. I'm just...
So is Brent Johnson. Brent Johnson's an upgrade.
I'm curious. Do you think... What's your take on that? I mean, as deep as the Sharks are in the goalie prospect area, are you ready to go the Capitals route and just say, hey, Harry Sateri, hey, Sexsmith, hey, Stalock, let's go, dudes. It's time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have developed you and you are going to get your chance. Whoever's the best one in camp between the four of you and Greiss, you get the gig.
Right.
I mean, should Niemi just automatically be the incumbent, or shouldn't they open this up to some legit competition?
I think they should, and I think that's, unfortunately, you know, not to bag on them too much, I think that's another coaching staff failure. They wrapped up the job and gave it to Niemi on a plate, and Thomas Greiss's numbers are not bad. Like, I don't know how many bad games he had, but it wasn't a lot. I don't know why he didn't get any games near the end of the season. I mean, obviously I know why, is because the Sharks are fighting for a playoff spot, but that kind of intractability is basically creating this goalie roadblock that we've been talking about for a year.
Well, it's that organizational attitude towards Thomas Greiss that, yeah. I mean, they basically banished him.
Right.
You know,
and then they
two
brought
years
him
ago, and then they brought him back from Redemption Island, and he's got to be at the bottom of the list in terms of all those guys. Yeah. Like, below Sateri, below Stalock, below Sexsmith. I think they have the least amount of confidence in Greiss.
Probably,
I mean,
true.
To even let him, like, get away. I mean, they seem to be okay if he didn't ever come back.
Yeah.
They nitamackied him, dude.
Pretty much.
You know? So...
Yeah, that's a big question mark, because I think you're right. It's going to be difficult to see this team becoming elite with Antti Niemi unless he has some major change and suddenly... turns into Ken Dryden or something, which I don't think is going to happen.
No, he's just been too inconsistent. I'm trying to be as realistic as possible. As much as I love this team, as big of a fan as I am, I think looking at this club and going, can they win a cup with Niemi and Net? No.
Well, Chicago did.
Well, they did, but that team was firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the team is constructed right now, sure, dude, if we get Duncan Keith and, yeah. and Patrick Kane, then maybe we can. But,
right. And but, Dave Boland. And...
But now, the way the team is, no, I don't think we can. And I don't think we can win with Patrick Marleau anymore. Those are the two guys that need to go, for sure.
Hard to argue, dude. Hard to argue with that. Okay, let's touch on the series. I know we touched on him a little bit, but I mean, we're still in bizarro land with Phoenix winning. We have LA winning.
LA's winning again right now as we're recording. They're winning 2-0.
Yeah, my front runner, the Philadelphia Flyers, are looking like the front runner right now.
It's hard to argue with that. Yeah, they're extremely dangerous.
They
yeah.
are so dangerous. And you know, my little upstart number one overall pick, Washington Capitals.
Yeah, that game is tied right now as we're recording right now. Yeah,
managed to not be super embarrassing like they thought they'd be. I mean, to me, if the Rangers can't put away Ottawa decisively and they can't put away the Capitals decisively, then to me, this is Philadelphia's conference to lose. I mean, if they're going to play the 7 seed and the 8 seed in 2 successive rounds and they're going to get beat up, then the Rangers aren't that real to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe in them that much.
Okay. I still believe in the Rangers, and I still think they're going to come out of the East. The way they played the Flyers this year, that's sort of the Flyers' kryptonite.
That's one problem.
And they have not matched up well against the Rangers. They have had a hard time solving Lundqvist. Now, this is a different Flyers team right now, and they couldn't have any more confidence that they have. But I'm rooting for that Eastern Conference final.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think that would be incredible. And the Western Conference final, I don't care. Like, I mean, yeah. I'll watch all four teams. It's just, you've got to believe that whoever comes out of the East, whether it's Philly or the Rangers, that's your cup winner, right?
You think, unless I could see LA.
Oh, God. LA, I guess, just, dude. I know. It's just
score.
Crazy. It's crazy. It's so bizarre.
I can't imagine Phoenix winning the West. Like, that just seems like so bizarro.
LA is winning 3-0 in the first period right now, dude.
But I mean, wouldn't it be great to see Flyers East and Flyers West meet in the Cup Finals?
I guess.
I think that's likely.
Yeah. And just backtracking to what we've been talking about all night, you look at two teams that made two major moves this year mm-hmm. to change the identity of their club. Bringing in Jeff Carter, bringing in Mike Richards. That's bold moves by Dean Lombardi that have paid off 100%, you know, and
not even Daryl Sutter can screw that up.
It's working. And the Flyers, it's looking to be a stroke of genius for them to make those changes in that locker room, get those two guys out. Obviously they're not dysfunctional. They're working in LA,
right?
Just wasn't working in Philly anymore.
Right.
So maybe Jumbo and Patty can end up together somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe so.
But there's got to be a change. I want to see a little bit more emotion from this Sharks team next year. Because, right, I'm just tired of it being so blah. I want a little Jim Harbaugh in here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers, like you could never accuse them of not being an emotional team.
Right.
All right.
They really cared.
And the San Francisco Giants, the year that they won the World Series, were the cardiac kids, an emotional team, like definitely busting their ass every night. And they were not the best team, but they won. And the Sharks just, they seem to be on a merry-go-round of, you know, emotional mediocrity, dude.
Right, right.
And that's Dan Boyle's not the problem in terms of that.
Yeah.
He's so upset. You can see on his face. But some of the other guys, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
All right, dude. With that, I think we're going to wrap this thing up. We'll be talking more, of course, about the Sharks the entire offseason. We'll be continuing to bring you ideas about where this team might go next, because certainly there are a hell of a lot of questions that are unanswered.
I'm sure all our ideas are wrong.
Yeah, probably. It's going to be the exact same team next year, and they're going to win the Cup.
Oh, would that surprise you at all? No, I mean, I don't expect that they would win the Cup, but what if they made 0 changes, dude?
Oh, there's not going to be zero changes. I mean, Doug Wilson said as much. We're going to see some free... I mean, we're going to see like Dominic Moore and people like that
right.
go away.
Okay, dude, I know you're trying to wrap things up. I can see you looking at the clock, dude.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, you got text. Is that it?
4-0. 4-0 oh. Kings.
Oh, I thought the baby was coming.
No. Yeah. No, I'm much more interested in the scores.
Okay.
Dude, with the CBA expiring, dude, I wanted to talk to you about this tonight. We can do it really quickly. How hamstrung are the Sharks going to be in terms of making these kind of decisions? You see the cap might go up to 70, but then if there's a new CBA, it goes down to 55. Like, isn't that going to prevent everybody from making some sort of major move?
I could see that happening, yeah. I think that with all that kind of stuff, I think, you know, frankly, I really wonder what would happen if the cap goes down, because you got to have some sort of deal where everybody takes a pay cut like they did in 2005. Or, you know, teams are just going to inherently, by definition, be over the cap, and there's going to be a lot of teams that are in big trouble that way. So, yeah, the thing I would think would be the most problem would be, like, term. I can't see, like, Roberto Luongo might be really tough to deal in this kind of climate, because he's going to be, you know, he doesn't have that bad of a cap. It is, like, 5.3 or something like that. But it's, like, for the next 60 years. So, yeah, I think contracts like that would be worse off. And, I'm sure if the cap goes down, there's got to be some sort of amnesty situation, and I could see some big contracts getting amnestied out. So, but I think GMs are going to be pretty cautious this offseason. I do think Rick Nash is going to go somewhere, though, and he's a big contract and he's a big player. I think he's going to go because basically they already kicked him out of town.
Well, that's a guy that's young enough and talented enough that it's worth taking on the money. You know, if any of those guys, that's a guy. And another guy who's not going to have a problem finding a new home. And it's been mentioned before. I mean, would you be interested in Tim Thomas? I mean, like Tim Thomas, 1 year of Tim Thomas with the same team. Does that fix everything, dude?
No.
I like it. I like it. I don't know. Well, we'll table this for next time. Whenever that might be, dude. It was good to be here.
Yeah,
hopefully,
dude.
I won't be here next week because that'll mean that there's a kid here. But if I'm still here,
right,
that means we're over a week late, which would be rough.
That'd be crazy. Or we could do like a 5-minute phone call. Yeah. Dude, how you doing? I'm sleeping. Dude, how about the Sharks? I don't care. Okay, dude, good podcast.
I'll make sure to call you right when she's crying.
Okay. Yeah, you do that. See you, dude. Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.